WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Film director Jules Dassin died at the age of 96 on Monday. In the 1940s, before he was blacklisted, he made Brute Force, Night in the City, and The Naked City. After he was blacklisted, he fled Hollywood and lived overseas. In France, he made the film Rafifi. In 1960, he made Never on Sunday, directing the actress who later became his wife, Melina Mercouri. He also directed her in Top Cappy and several other films. They lived together in Greece. I spoke with Jules Dassin in October 2001. He'd come to New York for a retrospective of his late wife's films at the Film Forum. Dassin grew up in New York and shot The Naked City there. It was one of the first films shot on location in Manhattan. Did shooting The Naked City make you feel even more attached to Manhattan than you'd felt before?
Yes. Yes. Because there was this passionate interest that sometimes became huge problems because the camera and actors attract people. And we had to use all kinds of techniques to hide the camera. I had a portable newspaper kiosk with me. I put the camera inside. I had a flower delivery van with a mirror that looks out. And most of all, I had a marvelous actor guy who... when the crowd would gather, and they learned before... When we came to shooting place, the crowds were already there. They had checked with hotels or where actors were, and they knew where we would be. And sometimes I would turn up, and there'd be hundreds of people, literally. And this actor friend was very important to us because about a few blocks away, we would set up a ladder. He would get up on the ladder, wave an American flag and begin to agitate. And people would rush to him and I'd get my shots quickly and get out.
That's really funny. So you had an actor who was a decoy.
That's right.
And you were able to shoot undercover because you were hidden in this portable kiosk or in the flower truck.
And such situations, there was no place to hide the camera. That's when we used our public speaker.
That's really great.
Yes.
A few years after you made Naked City, you were blacklisted. How did you know that you were blacklisted?
I think I read it in a newspaper. I had been invited to come to make a film in Italy, and I didn't work out. We agreed to disagree. And while I was in Rome, I decided I would go to the Cannes Film Festival. And when I was there, I learned that I had been enlisted into this noble brigade of refugees and subversive characters.
And what did you decide to do?
I decided to go right back to the U.S. states. But I was waiting to be called. It was not for a while. And then I was engaged to, because New York did not admit a blacklist. The theater would not be intimidated. And I was engaged to direct, of all things, a musical revue starring Betty Davis. And I said, fine, because it was a job. And went into rehearsal. And a fellow turned up with the subpoena to come to Washington to testify. And I was very frustrated because I said, well, I can't go now. I have the responsibility of this play. They'll have to wait. And they'll have to wait for quite a time because we're going to take it out of town, you know, as you try these plays before you bring them to New York. And this guy who served these subpoenas became a buddy. He came to these different cities and say, hey. He would call me Julie. As a matter of fact, hey, Julie, you're in trouble. You better go. And I said, I will not discharge, I have this responsibility, and I'm going to finish. And I'll be in Washington the very next day. And a day or two before we opened in New York, there's a telegram that came signed, and they said, these hearings have been indefinitely postponed. So I never got to make my heroic speech. Frustration.
You ended up making your next movie in France. Had it become impossible to work in the United States?
It became impossible because I knew once I was named as a subversive and that I understood the blacklist had by that time been well entrenched. There was no work, and people avoided you. Friends would pretend they didn't see you, and I had a family to feed. And I was offered a film in France, a film with the actor, that great comic actor's name is Fernandel. And I grabbed it, leaped at it. A few days before we were to shoot, the actress whom we had hired, an American actress, came weeping, said, I have been told if I work with Mr. Dassin, I will never get a job in America again. And so I'm obliged to leave. Excuse me, I'm out. And this gave the producer a little bit of a shock. But I said, well, we can cast that again. We began to do that, and then he got another message from a man whose name I'll tell you, know his name, I'll never forget it, Mr. Roy Brewer, who was the president of the Technicians Union in California. And his message to the producer was that if you make this film with Mr. Dassin, it will never see a release in the States, nor will any film you ever make from then on be released in the States. And they took this threat seriously, and I was out of a job. And that went on for about 4 years until Re-Fifi came up.
We're listening back to an interview with the film director Jules Dassin. He died Monday at the age of 96. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to the interview I recorded in 2001 with film director Jules Dassin. He died Monday at the age of 96. His films include Brute Force, Night in the City, The Naked City, Never on Sunday, and Top Cappy. When we left off, we were talking about getting the offer to make his now classic heist film, Re-Fifi. Let me read something François Truffaut said about it. He said, out of the worst crime novel I have ever read, Jules Dassin has made the best film noir I have ever seen. Were you skeptical of making the novel into a movie? Did you dislike the novel as much as Truffaut did?
I was not enchanted by it. But it was a job.
You wanted to work.
And there was just this section of the novel, which was about a heist, a robbery. And I decided to make the film, build it around that. So all of the themes, ideas, and some racist notions in the book, I did not have to face. As a matter of fact, I became friends with the writer, the author of the book later on. But it was so glorious and wonderful to work again after 5 years.
So, I guess the exhilaration of working again is part of what we're seeing in the movie.
I hope so. I would be glad if that were true.
The most famous scene in Re-Fifi is the actual jewelry heist. This is a scene of close to 30 minutes. There's no dialogue and there's no music.
No.
As these guys work without making a sound.
That's right.
Why did you shoot it without dialogue or music?
I just felt it that way, and I think it came from my trust in the characters as written and as played, they had no need to talk or communicate. They were professionals. They knew each other. They anticipated each other. And they knew that noise was an enemy. Noise was dangerous. And they worked quietly, efficiently, and in touch with each other. Contact that was very strong. And it worked better in the silence.
Now, most filmmakers, I think, would have put music underneath, suspense music or some kind of music.
Oh, I think then you've heard my story, a story. There's a wonderful composer in French history, as a matter of fact. His name is Georges Auric, who also did film work. He's written some marvelous stuff for movies. And he said, I look forward to writing music for this huge sequence. And I said, no, I don't want music. He said, you're mad. You're mad. And the producer said, you're mad. You're going to go 30 minutes without dialogue, without music? I said, that's what I hope. And he said, look, I'm your friend. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to write the music. I said, I don't want it. I'm going to write it. And he did, almost a symphony. And this wonderful guy, I invited him. I said, come to screening. I'm going to show you the film once with music and once without music. And I want you to tell me what you think I should do. And he sat through both versions and he said, music out. Wonderful guy.
Now, do you think that audiences early on realized that there was no sound and dialogue? Or did it just work on them unconsciously?
Well, I trapped them a little bit because there was one sound I did make. The guy accidentally touches a piano key. And when I saw that with an audience and they gasped, when he made that sound, I said, okay, we're in. They don't want him to make any noise.
Film director Jules Dassin recorded in 2001. He died Monday at the age of 96.